Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here this morning again, and I was blessed and challenged by the things that were shared here this morning already. And I trust that this morning, as we look into God's Word further, that we can receive a blessing or a challenge for our lives here this morning. Something that I am aware of at times is that if I'm not intentional in when people are sharing or speaking, that it's easy to just let things slide by. And so my desire is that as I go through this message, that I would be intentional about receiving things for myself. This morning, the message that I'd like to share with us here is on repentance. And we can just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the work that you have done in our lives and for the work that you want to continue to do, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this morning, as we do look into your word, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to stir our hearts. I pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, I do pray that you would reach out and touch hearts and lives here this morning, that we could receive. And Lord, help us to take these things and to apply them to our own lives. We just want to commit this time to you. And Lord, we desire that you would receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 3 and just read the first portion of this chapter. And the title that I want to leave with us here this morning is Living a Life of Repentance. When we think about repentance, we often think of, or at least speaking for myself, it's easy to go back and say, you know, I came to the Lord at this time in my life, and that's when big things happen in my life, and big changes, and rightfully so, and that's true. But the piece that, as we go through this message, that I would like to encourage us in is that it's not just that will keep us close to the Lord, but it's a continual life living this out, a continual repentance happening in our lives as God speaks to us and shows us. So in Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1 here, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that the God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of trees. Therefore, Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So we see the call here in John preaching and people coming to him and confessing their sins and being baptized. And we see the work going on here. But the piece that, couple pieces here in these verses that I'd like to notice is one, that people were coming and being baptized and repenting of their sins. But in verse 7 here, there was certain people coming and they wanted to be part of this life as well, the Pharisees and Sadducees. But he had some things to tell them there. And that was that a warning that they were to bring fruits with their repentance. And so what I see here is that their life, you know, it wasn't just the time, but that their actions brought change into their lives, and that it wasn't just a form that they were going through, but it was things were changing. There was fruit coming out of their lives because of the decision that they were making for the Lord. And then in verse 9 there, that the reminder not to depend on our background or maybe our teachings that we had or our heritage or to the, well, I go to this church, and not to depend on that. And he reminded them there that, you know, I'm able to raise up children unto Abraham also. And so the reminder here is that our dependence and needs to be on the Lord, and our repentance must be a heartfelt something that is coming from our lives, and it's not based on where we come from. And we see also that in these verses here that repentance, I believe, is a process. And it brings change about in our lives. There's a conscience decision made, but then when we look at repentance, we think about the meaning of that, and we think of turning around, having a change of mind, and it changes the way that we think, the way we feel, and the way we talk, and it'll change the way that we often act when we're walking in the Lord. And this is the beginning of our life of repentance. And if we look at just a couple more verses here that I'd like to look at, and we look turn to Luke chapter 9 and go down to verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." When I look at this verse, I see this speaking to us believers. It's you know, we made a decision to follow the Lord, and as we start living that out, it's something that we have to choose every day. You know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In, you know, we look at that verse and we, it speaks to me, indicates to me that, you know, we're tempted to do something else. We're tempted to go on our own. Maybe we deal with unbelief and we want to trust in something else other than the Lord. And so, again, the call is, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so it's a daily journey of our lives. A repentant life is how we grow in the Lord. And as we allow that to work out in our lives, we continually take on the character of Jesus. You know, when we see someone repenting, we make our flesh looks at that as it's like, oh, he's guilty. But repentance is not to make us look or feel guilty, but repentance is something that we do, and as we embrace that in our lives, it will set us free from sin as we turn to Jesus. And it helps us to walk a new path of obedience. We turn to Genesis chapter 42, and we just take a glimpse, get a glimpse of Joseph's brothers here when we see that they were hiding their lives. Their sin was hidden, and they weren't free. In Genesis 42, and where do I want to start reading here? Maybe I'll read and start in verse 12 here. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it that I spake unto you, saying, you are spies. Hereby you shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh that you shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved whether there be any truth in you. Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together inward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child? You would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. We see this conversation that Joseph's brothers had when life was difficult and they felt like they were being punished, and they were very aware of their sin. There was no question about what their sin was when they were facing Joseph here. They were quickly reminded, it's like, yep, this is my sin. This is our sin. And we haven't dealt with it. And we see the guilt coming out of their conversation here. We see them acknowledging their guilt. And so we see that there in Genesis chapter 45, verse 3, as they face Joseph's father here, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Here they were coming face to face with their sin and their brother of what they had done to him. And Joseph obviously had forgiven them, and they were at this point working through that. And we see the blessings of that if we continue reading there. So now I'd like to turn to John chapter 15 and look at the first 15 verses here. The pruning process of our lives, in starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. As we look at this portion of scripture here and look at the vine and the pruning process, you know, sometimes Or we can get the picture of, you know, he's just going to, you know, cut things away and that aren't profitable in my life. But as I was processing this process here in this chapter and thinking about living a life of repentance and how does this all work? How does God just take a branch and says, hey, this needs to go? But as I was processing that, I think what I've experienced in my own life is God, you know, he lays a hand on this thing and he says, you know, this is not very productive in your life and we need to remove this. And so as we sense God's hand touching our lives and pointing to areas in our lives, before he does the pruning, I believe that he gives us a choice. You know, this is a problem. And, you know, that's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And we consent. Like, yeah, I want that gone in my life. Or sometimes maybe we find ourselves struggling and saying, well, I wasn't quite ready to let go of that thing. I sort of wanted it to be part of my life. And so then we see the struggle in our lives as we work through that. So I believe that's the process of repentance and pruning that happens in our lives. And there's many promises that we see in these verses here. But, you know, as that process grows in our lives, we feel less and less like it's a big deal. But, you know, as we grow in the Lord and become more sensitive to his working hand, his Holy Spirit in our lives, in some cases, I believe it's like, no, you shouldn't do that. And, you know, we start going down a road and we quickly turn around. And you know, the big, hard struggles become less and less. We just find ourselves yielding to the Lord more easily. And that's the process of living a life of repentance, I believe. You know, when we quickly let go of things, they don't have a hold in our lives. And it's a little bit like when we do gardening and we, you know, we're combating weeds and foreign things that we don't want in our garden. When we attack them after they've been well-rooted, it takes a lot of work to destroy those plants and those weeds. But when we continually till the ground, you know, maybe daily or at least weekly, we don't really see a lot changing. It's already clean. And sometimes you might even find yourself, you know, moving the soil around to keep the weeds from growing. And somebody might look on, it's like, why are you tilling your garden? But if you stop and you look closely, and you might even have to get down on your hands and knees and you just look closely at the ground, and you'll see lots of little weeds just poking their heads through the ground. And when you deal with them in that stage of their life, they have very little root and it takes little to destroy them. Unlike when we deal with things that have been part of our lives, we know the struggle and we continually have to attack them. And that's a picture that I would like to leave with us this morning as we think about living a life of repentance, and that it's a daily process in our lives. And as we learn to yield to the Lord quickly, when we enter chapter 15 in John here, and the Lord starts showing areas in our lives that He'd like to change, or He'd like to prune so we can bear more fruit, that we get to a place where it's not a big ordeal, but we find ourselves easily yielding. In Revelations chapter 3 here, in closing, just a couple of comments here. Starting in verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we see here that, you know, we're not just living a life and letting life happen. That if we find ourselves in this state and we're just living along, that, you know, we are going to quickly find ourselves in an area of life that is probably neither hot nor cold. And we see Jesus' words here about that, and that he doesn't want us in this state. But later on here, he reminds us to be zealous in to repent. And in verse 20 there, the promise, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. A clue here. You know, we hear God speaking to us and pointing things out. There's one thing that we need to do, and that is open the door. Invite him in. Ask him to help us walk through these things. And he gives us a promise that, you know, he's going to come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. So we can't just let life happen. In repentance is intentional living. In when we lose sight of being intentional on purpose, we will quickly fall into that, the beginning of this passage here, that calls us lukewarm. And so let's be on guard, be aware, and let's allow God, when He points things out in our lives that need pruning, let's invite Him in and ask Him to be merciful to us as He does that work in our lives. May the Lord bless.